We got plenty of time for Junior Gillette jokes. He gives us plenty of fodder.
Apparently, he gets plenty of beatings.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, except the gift is like a lump of coal. I guess it is kind of a good idea.
How's this for you? Sean Payton, Drew Brees, and Junior Gillette walk into a bar.
Junior beats the fuck out of him and runs out.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my junk scale rating is a zero because it's daytime. So if you're familiar with our recording schedule, you'll know that we usually record late evenings so that those of us who do drink can get a number on the junk scale. But since it's summertime and we're feeling a little bit of the football buzz, we decided to record this episode in the middle of the day. There's nothing better than a little daytime drinking while we have a lot to cover, so put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Somebody around here is daytime drinking, drinking a little vodka and soda. I'm going to go with the 2.1.
All right. Vodka and soda.
Yeah, just
Coke?
I just had a bunch of vodka laying around. I ran out of bourbon, so.
Is that normal to mix vodka with?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't mix it with all the fruit juices like you do. You know.
All right. Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. Zero.
Doesn't matter when we record, folks. Damon doesn't. all right. So we do have a lot of little stuff to cover. So let's get started right away with headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Junior.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's start with Junior Gillette.
A topic I'm sure you're not bored with after the last podcast.
I will say, it's nice to be right. At least,
because
you, Jason, you were defending Junior.
I was not defending him.
Jason is that guy.
Was I really defending him?
You were. I came out saying basically, it's time to let part ways with him because he's a liability. Drama follows him, and we have proof of that today with new information.
Okay, well, here's what happened.
You did make one good point about. The money being a reason why you hold on to him.
We take a tremendous cap hit now. It would push us over the cap.
Gone over this, Jason. Let's not.
I know, I didn't argue that he wasn't an asshole. I said his assholeness.
No one can argue that.
Okay. My whole point was that his assholeness did not cause his injury.
Well, correct. Right.
Okay.
Anyway,
but of course
believe that there is no injury. I think it's a cover story. And if you watch a video of an interview of him in the locker room, I mean, he's not really a good liar. And you could see, you know, if you read it looking for the lie, obviously you're going to find it. But
you think nothing is wrong with him?
There's a lot wrong with the man.
Well, right. I'm talking about physical, not mental.
I mean, maybe there might
be really
something.
You really think they're just saying he's injured and he's really not injured?
I think.
Well,
yeah.
Let's play conspiracy. Well, look, first of all, let's talk about what came out today, okay?
And then
we can go out to the rest of this. Because, you know, we were talking about show topics. I had put Junior Gillette up there. And I was ready to give him a little mea culpa, okay. All right. You came out. You said I'm sorry. You said some of the right things. Then today. Fans, y'all should probably already know this by the time
it gets published. Yeah, it'll be long discussed about.
Right. There is a video on YouTube, and right now the name of it is Spring Break 2013 South Beach Brawl. So if y'all want to go, if you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and search for that. And it is this melee of, I don't know, guys, how many people you think?
Oh,
I mean,
10,
probably like the core,
people.
Like the core you know, circle of just people hitting on each other, probably anywhere between 8 to
12, right.
15, something like that. You know, like a couple guys tangled up, but just a,
right.
but a bunch of onlookers.
Right, but it starts out with this gentleman in all white from shoes to tank top, and he's fighting this other
gentleman. Gentleman.
You know, anyway. All of a sudden, the guy in the white takes off his belt and literally starts whooping ass. You know? And a female approaches him, and he smacks her twice.
And it wasn't a...
Like, and the
wasn't collateral damage. He went after her.
He was going after her. Right, yeah, like, right,
she
right.
came up
right.
and talked to him. They
and he
said some kind of word
back, and the belt slap her in the face, maybe? Or?
I don't know. He hit her, you know,
maybe,
yeah.
You know, like a body blow across the shoulder, kind of like you're throwing a baseball pitch, just kind of coming
right.
across and down.
Mm-hmm.
And the big reveal.
Swinging as hard as he can.
Right. The big reveal here, listeners, is the man in white swinging the belt is Junior Gallette.
Lost would tell you it was somebody else, but no, the man in white was always Junior Gallette. All you Lost fans will know what I'm talking about.
Boom!
I'm glad y'all three are enjoying this.
So, this video is a year old almost,
no,
right?
No, two years.
2 years old.
So it was before the 2013 season.
It says March of 2013.
Yeah, 14, 15. So 2 years this has been on YouTube. And the headline where we found it on NOLA.com says that the NFL has known about this. So you would have to think that the Saints have known about this, Sean Payton,
sure.
Loomis. Do you think they knew about this before they signed the contract? And I guess it didn't matter to them?
I mean, I don't – and that's the thing we don't know. Like, when did the Saints find out about it? We have no idea. Why is it the world basically just learning about it today? You know, this has been hiding for 2 years. It's been out there.
I mean, well, the NFL, it wasn't really covered up. I mean, it's been on YouTube for 2 years. No one found it. No one
so really – all of a sudden somebody says, hey, let me check out this video. Oh, that's Junior Gallette. Like, no. You think that's how it happened?
No. I'm not sure. I mean, who knows? I'm not sure.
So but, the key is, right, did the Saints know about it when they handed out that contract? I mean,
but even
I would say this is the other thing.
He didn't get arrested for this, right? I mean, this is not – if you're going to start cutting or suspending players just
well, no,
because they get fights on a beach, I mean, yeah, he hit a woman and that's bad.
It's all going to be the public outrage that's going to, you know, I mean, if Adrian Peterson whips his kid and there's video of Gallette whipping a woman with a belt, when it comes to light, you know, there's going to be a public reaction to it. And that's,
yeah,
you know, you're going to have all that kind of storm coming up. And, you know, what's that going to
cause? Your options are you get ahead of it and you cut him now.
We can't cut him. Now, look, this incident, this incident is 2 years old. You can't go back and suspend him because the policy, the new domestic violence policy wasn't in place. Okay. Now, I guess the team could, you know, call it, you know, say it's action detrimental to the team. So they could cut him. Get rid of him, but or you know, place him on suspension, but they still have to pay him his contract at least for this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
if the NFL suspends him for this or for the other stuff, we still got to pay him during the suspension, right? Like the NFL suspend his.
The NFL is not going to come and suspend him for an incident that they've known about for 2 years.
No, but they may increase their penalties for the current stuff. Knowing what's happened, just because the NFL's proven, you never know what they're gonna. Whatever Roger Goodell decides he wants to do, that's what he's gonna do.
They might, Jason, you're right. They might bite him on the incident that happened this year.
But if they suspend him, we don't have to pay him for those games, right?
Well, how they did it last year, they put the player on suspension, and for a cap. Reason, you know, there was a special commissioner's exempt list.
That list is growing every year.
Right, you know. But as far as the Saints not having to pay him, I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not sure.
If he's suspended, I wouldn't think so.
Right.
So,
like, Well, like if the team were to suspend him, would he still get paid under that?
Right. Who knows?
Like it'd be a fight, you know.
Of course he would fight for it. Oh. But I mean, right? With the cap implications are we just can't. We take a $10 million cap hit on top of what we've got, and we're like maybe barely under the cap right now after signing Kevin Williams. Probably got a couple million, but we take like an additional $10 million. It would totally wreck the team, the cap. So we just can't. We just have to. Look, that's why we drafted Kaká and the other...
Kaká!
Can't cut him this year. I mean, unless something drastic happens and he explodes, you know, he plays like better than beyond anybody's imagination. It's hard to imagine him being on the roster.
That's going to be the only way he's going to, I think, save himself is he's going to have to.
I mean, that's it. We have to keep him here because we can't eat the hit. But once we can absorb it and plan for it.
How do you think the fans are going to react? You think they're going to stand behind him or you think they're going to
fuck no
on him?
After no. this? I mean, how can you?
NFL fans. I'm talking Saints fans.
Right. I'm talking about Saints
well,
fans.
Well, look, Jeff, your prime example, how the average fan would act, you know, the people who just buy the bullshit from the organization, and you see what Jason's doing. And you see, before this video came out last week, like you said, Jason was defending Junior. But now, that guy fan, are now going against Junior. Okay?
Who's got two opposable thumbs pointing at me? This guy!
You know, but me, who bought his jersey last year.
Man, yeah, I didn't buy his fucking jersey.
Did you get screwed?
It is in my closet next to the Darren Sharper jersey. So here's what I'm going to do.
Jeff is starting his own collection. Yeah, he's trying to collect the worst boys, right? Saints jerseys in the history
of
the franchise.
I'm going to ask you, like my buddy Doug did in 2000 with me. He asked me not to get a Deuce McAllister jersey because of my long, you know, history of destroying
the players. Injury or, yeah,
right,
yeah.
So I'm going to ask you, please don't buy any new jerseys.
I'm not. No, I'm going to buy a Matt Ryan jersey.
Okay, right.
Or Jones.
and I know I mentioned this last show we did. You know, go buy some classic players. You know, a classic alumni players. Like, there's Deuce. There's the Dome Patrol. My God, our name of our podcast is Dome Patrol Podcast.
Yeah, you definitely should.
I have a Ricky Jackson, perhaps. Yeah. You know.
Ooh, good idea for our next video show. Right. We all have to be wearing.
Junior Gallant, Darren Sharper, and
No.
I think I got a Kyle Turley.
Yeah, Kyle Turley would be a good one.
My dad has a Norman hand. I could grab that. No, we should all get a throwback Dome Patrol player. Oh, like, so yeah, Damon already has Ricky Jackson.
Seven,
so we got
three.
Swilling and Mills. We can kind of, unless you want Devon Johnson, you might like Devon Johnson.
Nah, I would either go with Swilling or.
I'd probably go Mills, Sam Mills.
So, yep, you're stuck with Willie.
Okay.
Unless you want to go to Vaughn Johnson. Although that one you might have to get personalized. I don't think they've got a Vaughn Johnson jersey.
Vaughn Johnson was 53?
53, yeah. Mills was 51, Swilling 56.
All right, let's talk about minicamp. And specifically Brandon Coleman.
Look, everybody's saying what a great offseason he's having, that he had really come far, is a much better player than he was last year, and they're expecting big things from him. A lot of praise from the media.
and a lot of
and coach
a lot of praise both you know him, Jones and Coleman all being in their second year, and there were some articles on Cooks on Cooks just being able to now that he knows the routes he can just play. He's not worried about running which route, this route, slowing him down. Now he's just going full speed. He knows the plays. I mean, all these guys, this is all their second year in, and they said you can tell a noticeable difference between the this year compared to last year. Mm. Which, I mean, it's going to happen when you go from rookie to second year. It's
right. And you're right. Rookies are going to have that, that adjustment period. But how you just described it, Jason, isn't that the complaint a lot of players on defense had after going from Greg Williams to the worst defense in the NFL?
Spags, yeah.
You know, they said in a Spags system, they weren't just playing, they were thinking and slowed them down. So,
which they were saying too about Rob Ryan's defense last year. He threw too much shit at him, and they were too busy trying to think of where they should be instead of just going out there.
Right. You know, it's not rocket science, it's football.
Yep. Yep. And look, again, it's them playing, no pads, no contact. But look, the fact that we didn't really draft a receiver, they were gonna go with these guys, and
we mentioned that right after the draft, right? We said obviously Sean Payton feels comfortable with the players that we have on the roster, and
if Coleman can come in and
give us any
effective, there's your size wise your placement,
right,
for Marcus Colton.
No. For Jimmy Graham, he's 6'6".
Well, that too, for this year. But I'm saying, like, Colston's not going to be here much longer.
Right. And, even Jones, a big guy. I mean, look, it's crazy that they still have a lot of faith in Toon. I mean, we've been waiting for 3 years for Toon, 4 years for Toon. Turn up the volume! Rock it! Still waiting, but they...
Well, but we're still waiting because, again... Right. He has not gotten the praise at this mini camp like Coleman has,
Not quite. Not Coleman's.
Not even close.
If you're waiting for a guy like Nick Toon for 4 years, I mean, it's time to stop waiting. I mean,
I agree. And that's another thing. I mean, Coleman's the new shiny toy. Jones is a new shiny toy, only the second year in the league. We haven't been disappointed by him enough yet.
Nick Toon is Andy Tanner.
Except Andy Tanner.
Maybe that's what they're keeping Toon. Maybe Toon's a good practice squad guy,
But they clearly have a lot of faith in, the guys at three through whatever. Just fight for a job, and they have a faith that at least two are going to – even with Joe Morgan, Josh Morgan, there's a bunch of guys down there.
Yeah. All right, talk about Delvin Bro.
I'll put it this way. I'm not sure if it's – an attaboy to Delvin Bro or the I'm the other cornerback we got from the Jets.
Kyle Wilson.
Kyle Williams.
Yeah, he sucks.
Right,
he sucks. You know what? He will not make the team.
No,
I'll call that right now.
They had him as a starting nickel, and they put Delvin Bro at the starting nickel towards the end of camp. And I know Keenan Lewis was high on him, saying, that Bro has the swag and he's confident and he likes it and is bringing the swag to everybody in the secondary. So, man, we've always said this. It can't be worse than Rob and Corey White. I mean, this guy literally can't be worse.
You got both the rookies we brought in. You got to figure they're pretty much locks to make the team. Bro, the way he's played and everybody's hyping him up, he seems like a solid enough guy to make it. So Wilson's definitely going to be the odd man out. And you still got Baptiste. Whatever we get from him, it'll be between Baptiste and fucking Wilson.
And you're right. Wilson's gone. And I think we talked about this last week. Where they said that Baptiste was playing better with the dumbed down defense. So we can only hope.
Yeah, look, we threw a lot of guys back there.
And that's good. And you're right. We brought a lot of guys in for the secondary because we realized all we had was Keenan Lewis.
Keenan Lewis, that's it. Keenan Lewis.
Right, at the cornerback. That was it. We had one out of a possible, four.
Yeah. Right.
We have one.
You know, combine that. Now you got Bird healthy.
What, you mean Jay Bird?
Oh, you haven't heard? Yeah.
So the funny thing is, reading this little report on Bro versus Wilson, and I was saying when Bro left the practice field, Wilson came back in and got an interception by taking the ball away from Nick Toon. Kyle Wilson, who is struggling, at least got an interception from Nick Toon.
Well, who threw the interception? That's the more.
Well, Drew Brees threw it, but Nick Toon bobbled it.
Nick
Toon lost it. It wasn't Drew Brees' fault.
Well, Nick Toon's been losing it for 4 years. Somehow still around.
Aww.
Sorry, I mean, look, it's true. What can you say?
I know.
We've given him every opportunity to bust through.
All right, anybody else you want to talk about from minicamp?
No, it's just I'm happy that we don't have any major injuries. You know, Junior's pec and all Junior's issues aside. No torn ACLs, blown Achilles, anything like that. So now we have a month to wait until training camp. Just hope nobody does anything stupid in the offseason.
Right.
Getting hit with champagne bottles and the like.
Well, yeah. All right, so segue that into NFL Reach Around. And, yeah, so what's this story about RG4 getting hit in the face with a champagne bottle?
50
that's
stitches.
The story.
50 stitches. That's a lot of fucking stitches.
Did Junior Gallet shoot the...
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Open that bottle?
He tried to slap him with a champagne bottle, all right? Didn't go well.
How did...
The story goes that... And I forget the bar's name, but he was at some bar at like 1:30 in the morning, and when he walked in, supposedly he bumped into somebody. And that started an argument between him and a group of guys, and he was hit in the head with a champagne bottle. I mean, lucky he didn't kill him.
Those are fucking heavy.
And then, right. Well, all bottles. You know,
but a champagne bottle is better.
You know, I was visualizing a cork. Okay, I got you. It was the bottle that hit him.
That's
why it was shocking to me.
That might have been the dumbest thing you have ever said. You really thought he got hit by a cork and got 50 stitches?
That's why I was like, how in the world do you get 50 stitches by getting hit in the face?
Hold on. Hold on.
Yes, we need to dig into this further.
What?
You thought he got hit by a cork?
When you pop the cork on the bottle.
You thought a popped cork would cause 50 stitches.
That's why I was shocked.
What is the cork made out of? Titanium?
Junior Gillette's fist. I don't know.
I mean, did you not realize that it was a violent act? You thought it was just an accident? He was standing around, someone popping champagne, and caught his 50 stitches? Yes.
That might put your eye out. That's not going to give you 50 stitches.
That's why I thought it was newsworthy.
But he still has both eyes. His eyes didn't get popped out. Wow.
Mr. Madison, what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points. And may God have mercy on your soul.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine, but...
But anyway, so these unknown people hit him with the bottle, then they flee. And the last report I had seen, the NOPD, was investigating the incident.
Man, you take a bunch of Tulane grads to a bar.
Right.
Can't have a good time.
All right. So speaking of incompetence... let's hit a little quick fuck the Falcons.
Fuck Clement, fuck Giant, fuck Laughing, fuck Ryan, fuck cursing, but mostly fuck you. Fuck love, hate, and friends, fuck following trends, fuck this song, can't wait till it ends. Fuck everything, but fuck you the most. Fuck everyone, but fuck you the most. With a big rusty pole or a splintering post, yeah, fuck you the most, fuck you.
I haven't had one of these in a while.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I kind of missed them. I really missed them.
Well, they earned this one.
Well, you know, think about it. This is the first time in 2 years where we're not playing the Falcons in the first game, so we don't have a Fuck the Falcons segment every week.
Right. That's true, leading into the season.
And we don't have Smith to make fun of anymore.
Or Mike Smith. Man, I'm going to miss Mike Smith.
His mandals. The geniuses in the marketing department at Atlanta Falcons.
The same people that brought you Rise Up.
Right, and the Toughness Crusade, and
right.
And you remember winning.
Hello, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember the Atlanta Falcons marketing team for such failures as Rise Up, and now the new one, Quinning.
Right. So they, I guess, because of Jurassic World, they created this photoshopped image of Matt Ryan's head on a T-Rex's body trying to throw the ball. And what was the words they put on it, or did they not? It was just...
No, there was definitely words to it. Let's
it know. Said, the season is open on September 14th. I guess it's, you know...
Oh,
the season,
the park is open.
Right, the park is open, yeah.
I mean, I thought it more like, you know, you have rabbit season and deer season. I mean,
yeah.
It's rabbit season! Duck season! Rabbit season! Duck season! Rabbit season! Duck season! Rabbit season! Rabbit season! Duck season! Rabbit season! I say it's duck season, and I say fire!
It's Falcon season. Is how, you
know. Oh, good.
So here's multiple things wrong. Number one, if I'm doing anything to make my quarterback a dinosaur, a T-Rex is the last one I'm going to use because his tiny little arms, he can't even throw the ball.
Right. And under the Photoshop picture, it has Rhinoceros Rex.
That's what it said. Rhinoceros Rex. What the fuck?
I mean, that is...
You are the most embarrassing franchise in the NFL. I mean, their fans are to follow these incompetent boobs. It has to be the most embarrassing thing ever.
Who are the ad wizards that came up with that one? Do they have? Is it basically a bunch of like high? Is it a bunch of high school kids running their marketing department?
It's people who want to have some sort of organic. You know, I don't know.
Organic is you cannot plant.
Right.
You can't plant.
T-Rex isn't organic.
Right. It just looks horrible, and it's so funny looking. I mean, it's so embarrassing. It's just sad.
It's fun. Even if they change coaches, there's still always something that Atlanta does that you can laugh at.
And did you see their coach does like these secret handshakes with his players and. All this stuff. I guarantee you, he's not going to have the discipline that's going to be necessary, which is good for us.
I mean, right. He might. They're just not going to have the talent. They're still real. You know, the Julio Jones trade and all their failed draft picks. They cut an offensive lineman that they drafted in the first round, like 3 or 4 years ago. Cut him.
Right.
That's another failed draft pick. You know, like the erosion. You know, you got to hit in the draft, and that's what happened with the Saints last year. Just the erosion of replacing your guys with the draft picks you need to.
That's your back.
I mean, that's the backbone of any good franchise. You have to hit in the draft. They haven't. I mean, we haven't. That's why we kind of struggled a little bit.
Not anymore.
No doubt. And look, you know, you think Quinn's coming in. He was the defensive coordinator in Seattle. Yeah, and we all know about, you know, Seattle's defense over the last couple of years that made him successful. But we probably talked about it when he was hired. Look, there's no guarantee that he's going to be able to turn that Falcon defense around. You know?
Right.
It's just you don't have the players. Seattle lucked out with, you know, getting Richard Sherman in the third round.
He had the talent.
I mean, other than maybe Earl Thomas was a first round pick, but everybody else was.
Everybody else were later round picks that just turned out to be, you know, really good players.
Yeah, studs.
Right. So, Falcons, you're going to suck as usual.
All right, now that we're going to head into overanalyze this. Regular Benson family checkup.
Oh, we're getting towards the end here with
new developments.
Well, Right. Well, we are at the end of his competency hearing. As we talked about last time, we had spoken that, you know, we had taken a little guess because of the way the lawyers were, or the doctors were speaking with Benson's lawyers, how they would testify. Sure enough, Benson's lawyer and the independent lawyer said, you know, both testified in Mr. Benson's favor, saying that while he has some short-term memory loss, that it doesn't affect, you know, his competency or his cognitive ability, and or would make him susceptible to, you know, influence by someone. So he won his competency hearing. Now, remember, folks, at the core of this hearing was the three R's wanted to take control of his businesses. Pelican, Saints, dealerships, banks, you know. So, I mean, this was a big deal. If he would have lost this, he would have lost the ability to control the empire that he has built, this multi-billion-dollar empire he has built. I mean, this was a big fight for Mr. Benson. So I'm glad we won. I'm glad he won. And next, the three R's can appeal. And then also, there's still the lawsuit about they had taken Mr. Benson off of being the trustee of the trust that the Pelicans and Saints are in. So that's going to be the big thing. If he can wrestle control back of that trust, then he's going to just, if he wants to move those assets, he's going to have to replace him with, you know, equal value, you know, either assets or cash.
I understand that the examination that led to the decision was they just asked Benson, like, hey, Mr. Benson, do you remember this? Do you remember this? And he says, I remember that. Now, you want to talk about like a boss. The same day, like later that evening, he's up in Maine hanging out with George Bush Sr. and Barbara Bush.
Yes, he is. Yeah. He went to Walker's Point in Kennebunkport. And, you know, and he had said that at a couple of days before the trial ended. He goes, they're keeping me from my vacation. I'm supposed to be in Maine. You know, so.
Yeah.
But one of the things that the judge said in his ruling is he pointed to the testimony from a nurse who cared for Mr. Benson, Miss Daniels. And the judge said, and I'm reading this, he found her to be perhaps the most credible fact witness.
Oh.
Miss Daniels testified that Benson agonized over distancing himself from his family members. He cried about it. He read the December 27th letter three times and then decided to place his signature on the document. She also testified that no one stood over him while he signed. You know, mm-hmm. So again, this wasn't, you know, this isn't a callous old man, you know, who just, I mean, you know,
he definitely still cares for his family. He's just very disappointed.
Sure.
At what they tried to do.
Sure. And one of the interesting
irony of all of this is, you remember when, I guess, was it Al Davis? What owner had died and there was a lot of question about what's going to happen with the team?
Al Davis.
No, I think you're talking about Wilson in Buffalo where they had to sell.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
And the Saints, Benson and the Saints, put out a statement after that to say, we've got it set up. I remember we talked about this on the show. We've got it set up so that there's going to be a smooth transition when Tom Benson dies, yada, yada, yada.
Right. Well, look. One of the things, all this, obviously.
But,
well, look, one of the things with Wilson, what happened is that he died, the team wasn't in a trust, so this communist-style tax system that the United States run, the inheritance tax, anything over a couple of $1 million, they literally tax you 50% on money and assets that's already been taxed on.
Yeah,
that's already been taxed.
Right.
So it's the government to steal your hard-earned money. So what happened is Wilson's, which I'm surprised a billionaire didn't have tax preparation anyway. So his family got hit that, you know, they owed, again, I don't know if it's 50 or 40, somewhere between there, that amount of the value of the bills, and they didn't have any cash, so they had to sell the team. So Mr. Benson, very proactive, created this trust, put the assets in the trust, so that the family
demonstrating mental competency.
Yeah, that's true too.
Hey, the judge proved it.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so that's why we're really
the inheritance tax law is just, it's so stupid. It's
yeah,
so,
I just think it's ironic, though, that the saint said, oh, we're not going to have this, you know, a difficult transition of ownership after he died.
They weren't supposed to. If Rita wasn't such a bitch, this would have been fine.
Well, but they were right. It's not going to be after he dies. It's before he dies.
Right. Well, but speaking of that, and I found this most interesting, and I'd like to hear y'all comment on it. That on 8 days before, on December 19th, they reported that Mr. Benson sat with Lachey and his other business partners talking about ways to make Rita the sole heir of the teams when he...
Hmm. Yeah, that was still in his plan.
Right. Just you know
what happened in that short amount of time.
That was when they had Rita had an altercation with Gale at the game.
Right.
At the game against the Falcons in the Dome.
Right.
And apparently that just
supposedly shook her.
Yeah, that just changed everything. You know?
Now if I'm Rita.
Rita wore all white and swung a belt at Gale.
No. Yeah. But I'm telling you, if I'm Rita or if I'm in that situation, I mean, my goodness. I mean, you just cost yourself a couple of
an NFL franchise,
dollars. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what that altercation was about.
And the Pelicans. I mean, she cost herself two major sports franchises.
Right. Well, Jeff, the confrontation was about what this whole thing's been about is that Renee and the family wasn't getting updates about Mr. Benson's medical procedures. And again, the family believe that Gale is the one keeping them out, you know.
Uh-huh.
So they kind of came to a head because Renee had tried to get in touch with Gale and they didn't answer, blah, blah, blah. So
Rita must have been drunk and shook Gale.
Well, he could have been. You're right. You
she might have been high on coke. I mean, she was, you know, who knows.
Right. Or crack.
Or anything. Rita's a crazy.
You don't know.
In any case, that one
speculation on our part.
Purely speculation. I have never started coke with Rita Benson LeBlanc at a bar somewhere in New Orleans.
No, but I have seen Roger Goodell beat a small Asian child to death, though.
You don't have to prove it with her.
No, of course not. Hey,
he's
I thought
not a man that needs proof.
Yes.
And usually, when he has proof, that's when he actually does nothing about it.
I have plenty of proof. I wrote it down on a napkin. That's proof enough.
Right.
That's right. That's where I thought.
Okay, let's move ahead to look at him tweets.
We get to it. I think it's funny that when you edit, you play the one Star Wars song.
I know.
I edit, I play the other Star Wars song.
I was wondering if you would notice that.
Yeah, I do it on purpose now.
No, I wondered if the listeners noticed that.
Oh. Listeners, have you noticed what we just pointed out to you?
Listeners, have you heard that? Have you noticed that?
Right.
So Alex Barbie did come in with, what's Damon's opinion on the Women's World Cup?
I mean, I thought this was, you sure it wasn't last week?
No, because it just started. I think like this past week was the first
week.
I don't
know. I mean, I don't know. Worse than the Men's World Cup. Now you have women playing it.
Oh,
you know? I mean, can you make it any more sucky?
The good news is the women's team is actually good, so there's a chance.
No,
that
I know, and they're attractive. I mean, but again, I agree with the.
Oh my God.
I agree with the guy who's stepping down from FIFA. You know, who said they should put him in shorter shorts, you know, maybe a little midriff. You know, I like the girl. Remember last time they won in the
he
girl?
He did say that, actually?
He didn't say the midriff, but, you know, yeah, he did suggest that they put him in tighter.
He wants the lingerie cup.
Yeah.
No, he did say. Now, he's stepping down. But, wow. But no, but blah, 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 blah. I'm playing it for when I'm talking about the women. I mean, I'm not a misogynist. But, I mean, again, it's soccer. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you know what? Not that I'm going to watch a second of it. Not that I care two shits about
right.
it.
And to prove that he's not sexist, folks, he wouldn't watch a minute of men's with
well,
soccer.
right. He's not watching any soccer.
I'm not watching it now. If they get into the final game, I'll watch that.
Right.
You know, and yeah, right. But I guess because they are good and they should win, they should have won 4 years ago. They got beat by Japan. you know, yeah, if they get into the final thing, I'll watch.
Well, Damon, you know why you should watch? You know where they're playing this World Cup? In Canada.
Fuck Canada!
Hey, fuck you, buddy!
Okay, so the next tweet was, Neil told us today that his wife got pissed on yesterday by
what?
A Bengal tiger in a zoo. I want to know, Neil, I hope your wife is a zookeeper. Otherwise, how do you get pissed on by a Bengal tiger?
Is it like the tiger just walked up along the fence, raised his leg, and just squirted into the crowd?
Exactly.
I mean, is this some kind of weird fetish they're into? Or
I don't know.
Was it by accident? I mean, it was on purpose
Explain
or
yourself,
an accident?
Neil.
Right.
Tiger sex. It's called Ambien and Perkins waitresses.
But he did come in with is that a who day?
So
we kind of talked a little bit about it. So I told him, I said, take her to a church and wash it with holy water. Turn that into a who dat. And then he came back and said she would not have gotten hit if it was a Bengal quarterback. Hi-yo!
5 straight years of playoff losses, one and done.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to not football segment. And Jason wants to talk about the U.S. Open.
So this is the weekend of the U.S. Open. Several interesting things about this event. I'll make it short. I know not a lot of people out there like golf, but it's being played at this course just outside of Seattle. It's a links-style course, which for the layperson, links-style is normally when they play the British Open, the course looks like this, not in America. And the course is pretty terrible. The course has only been open for like 8 years. They said it was coming here. The grass sucks. All the players hate it. It's weird to watch on television. And I'm watching it right now as we speak. But so Tiger Woods plays, and Tiger Woods sucks. It's amazing to watch. And I know he's played this way for the last year, really. It's still amazing to see Tiger Woods play like I would go out and play a course.
So he's not just as good as the others
he
now.
Finished,
he's actually worse than them.
No, he finished third from last. And the whole – after the first two rounds, you know, you got 155 players that play. They take half, and they make the cut and play the weekend. Tiger missed the cut. Tiger was third from the bottom. It's just still amazing.
Sounds like they need to Photoshop his head on a T-Rex and call it Tigersaurus Rex.
Now, wasn't it within the last month I've been telling Jason that it's over for Tiger, and Jason was saying that it's not?
Because he's still not even 40. Like, in golf, you can still
– That guy.
Listen, that guy. Again, I mean,
no,
Jason
no.
I know he's not 40, some of the top players from, you know, yesteryear and – played up until they were 40. But again, Tiger, we talked about, you know, injuries to his knees. You know, this man's knees, I bet you, like an 80-year-old man. Can we talk about
his back?
His back, you know, all that torquing he would do when he came on the scene 15 years ago. Just, you know,
Tiger
really wrecked his body. And then again, younger players aren't intimidated of him. Play like him, you know.
Right, they grew up learning his style.
Right,
he's
just done.
I mean, it's. I can't. You can't say he's done. Hold on. Just listen. Here's my proof. You've had guys that have been at the top of the field, top 10, top. Top 20 in the world.
That guy.
Jesus. All right. Yeah. You got me. That's mine. Go ahead. I don't care. Whatever.
We're done. Go ahead.
That guy. Go ahead. That guy.
Could you finish? Okay.
Look at that guy. you've had guys be at the top of their game, win major championships. You've had guys completely lose it and never get it back. But you've also had guys that completely lost it and came back to the game and got back in the top
but
five.
That was a different time, a different era.
No, it's not about time. It's about, look, Tiger's swing is shit. He's in denial. He thinks whatever he's working on is going to fix his problem. The problem is it's not. He's too good to not ever say he can't get it back. I mean, it's probably I'm not going to say that because then I'll sound like fucking that guy. But
you are that guy. Say it, that guy. Say it.
But I can't completely count him out. But it doesn't look good right now. Just at this point, he's almost run out of options. Like, his only option is to admit defeat, go back to his old coach, do whatever it takes to get back. Because if he's stays in denial and keeps thinking whatever he's doing now is eventually going to work, he's wrong and he's never going to get it back.
Yeah.
It's just, Jason, it's so just
Jason, what are the age that you go to senior tour? 40 or 50?
50. Well, Tiger said he's never going to play the senior tour. Never going to play it.
I think he will. I think by the time he gets,
if he ever wants to win again, he will.
No. I think by the time he gets that age, he'll calm down, and I think he will miss the competition. You know,
but I mean, he'll still play. I mean, look, if he's Tiger Woods, he will be able to get a special exemption into any tournament he wants as long as he lives. You know, if he wants to come,
he's like Palmer.
So he doesn't have to. I don't think he's not going to go play with the old men. He's going to try to compete at the majors. If he never fixes himself and in 2 years plays like this, he may just say, all right, fucking, I'm done, and just quit altogether.
Well, right. And he could stop touring with, you know, on the PGA. And then by the time he's 50, I mean, again, he has 10 years. Wait and see. You know, he could change his mind.
I can't rule him out, but it just looks
he's
terrible.
Done. Listen to me.
He's not done.
He's done. No more majors ever for Tiger Woods.
I'm not going to, I mean, the way it's
no
looking
No more
now,
majors ever.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Oh, hold on. Well, the last thing is that the broadcast was taken over. Fox bought the rights. So this is the first year of Fox doing a major golf tournament. It's been interesting. I can't say I've really enjoyed it a lot. I mean, they've kind of interested thing, kind of like putting the tracer on the ball on shots and doing this and that. But in like Joe Buck is calling golf. It's just weird. I don't think he's ready. But it's okay, but a couple of guys are just terrible. And some of that's too because I know I'm a guy who watches a lot of golf. I know a lot of you don't. But when you watch, you're used to the majors, you're used to the certain broadcast and certain voices, and this whole week is just
kind of off-putting.
It's been very off-putting.
All right. But that'll become normal.
Oh, look, they'll get better, but they didn't get any benefits with the shitty course, which is outside of Seattle.
They quoted somebody saying, like, this is the worst course I've ever played.
Yeah, Gary Player, one of the only guys to ever win the career Grand Slam, said this is one of the worst golf courses he's ever seen.
In what respect?
The course plays very difficult. It's
but all U.S. Opens.
I know all U.S. Opens.
U.S. Opens are the most difficult playing conditions, you know, of the season, of the year.
But just, I mean, you hit a shot, you're off by a yard, and it rolls 60 yards down the hill. You know, it's. I mean, for a U.S. Open, I don't have too much of an issue with it. But his main point is, we're trying to grow the game of golf itself, and amateurs playing golf, like. I could never go play that course and shoot better than 100.
But
like
but again, is it the course or is it the way they have the course set up?
It's the course, and it's a different type of grass. It's a type of grass that they normally play in Europe. There's not very many.
Okay.
There's not been a lot of courses in USA that use this this fescue grass. It's kind of like the high, you know, high stalks, rough. They use that all over the course. They just cut it short in the fairway and leave it long in the rough. It's a lot of European courses play like this. In America, and the greens, everybody's bitching about the greens. They're just bumpy and they're not.
On that aspect of it, then the players definitely have a right to bitch if the greens aren't, you know, flat. And
it's just not Fox kind of got stuck this year.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, that's the course. I mean, you got.
I know everybody's got to play it. It's still, you know, you're playing your country's national championship. You know, you want to make the course tough, but at least you want to have putting services that are consistent. I mean, you could hit it in one spot, it'll bounce to the left. The same guy could hit the same putt.
This year's winner is going to have an asterisk.
They're not going to have an asterisk, but there'll be a lot more luck involved in the winter this year compared to.
Well, look, this is one of the things that, and again, not
my entire
because
golf
of,
game is based on luck.
You know, I mean, not because of the things you just mentioned. Yeah, I don't, bumpy green, the stuff suck. But it always annoys me when the players bitch about the U.S. Open. Now, again, this year, well, let's take this year out, okay? You know,
right.
Because yes, they always make the U.S. Open.
Oh, look,
tougher they can
right,
for the
barely above par wins, and
right.
I'm okay with that.
And I love it. I love it. I think they should do that with every course. I'm tired of watching people shoot 18 under. That's not exciting. That's not fun.
Well, it's a lot. Birdies are exciting. Or birdies are more exciting than pars.
Exactly. And not just that, but it keeps everybody in contention. You know, when they have the courses laid out perfectly and, you know, and guy had 4 or 5 shot lead. I mean, he really has to be yeah, have a mental breakdown to, you know, to not win. But here, the U.S. Open, man, unlucky shot here, unlucky shot there, you know.
Yeah, I do.
Bounce puts you in contention, you know.
Right. I mean, the leaders, you know, they haven't teed off yet today, but they're at 5 under. You know, if you're at 2 over, like if you shoot 3 under, I think the lead at the end of the day is going to drop a few shots. Like, it's going to be hard to shoot par. So if you go out early and post a score, you can get right back in it.
Exactly. That's why I've always liked the U.S. Open.
I mean, I like the toughness, but I agree, like you said. I mean, they get it, you know, other than, I mean, even Augusta, the winning score was 18 under. Now,
right.
That's a little, but still, they're at least shooting 12, 13 under. On the your average PGA Tour event is going to be anywhere from 15 to 20 under par. You know, I don't mind seeing the guys tested.
No, yeah, exactly.
Every year, I do like this course is a little too much for me. And then they have, this is weird. Like, on one day, the hole plays a par 5, and on the next day, they shorten it and play it a par 4. Like, I can't remember the last time that's happened. Where they changed the par, they just moved the tee boxes around, and it's just weird, yeah.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys what your final thoughts topics are going to be today, and it's Jurassic World.
Oh!
So, Damon has not seen the whole movie yet.
You should let him talk about the opening first.
Yeah, so Damon, what part did you see up to?
The when they were in that sphere.
Okay.
Okay, so they were still going around in the sphere?
So
right, right.
You knew the Gigantosaur, what they call it?
Indominus Rex.
Indominus Rex. You knew he got out.
Right. He had gotten out. And actually, this might be a little bit past that, but I know it's... Again, I saw him attack that sphere, and I saw him attack the game wardens they had sent out to him.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember the exact
moment
I walked out.
It was wild when he tricked him that he...
Yeah.
You know, like, they went in, right. And they were just sitting there, and I'm like, holy shit, they're fucked. They're just sitting there in the cage. I'm like, this is a smart, like...
Right. Well, look, let's try to talk about it without really going into plot detail, but more so, you know, again...
Feeling of the movie.
Right, general feeling of the movie, and, you know, some Easter eggs, and what reminded you of the first, and the second, you know...
I love the opening...
Like, plot.
Okay. But I love, like, the opening shot when you first get to the park, and, you know, they do the monorail, and it goes in, and they open the gates, and it's the same... You know,
I love that.
A throwback to the...
Yeah, I love that.
And now you got to see the finished vision.
I mean, this is what Hammond wanted.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's a good point.
That was very nice.
It was very nice after the last two Jurassic Parks. You're right, you have to come back to that. This is what John Hammond had wanted.
Right. Then I liked the Mr. DNA guy had his little cameo.
I saw that.
And I was hoping. And then I liked that the head researcher guy.
It's the same dude. Same
he
guy.
Was back.
Same
I think
actor.
He's the only guy from the first movie that's in this movie.
Mm.
Really? He's the only
one. Yeah. Attorney. I mean, bring back Neil, Dern, Goldblum, Hammond's dead. Or Richard Attenborough's dead. Yeah, I mean, he was the only guy from the first movie that was in this movie.
Oh, I wish Richard Attenborough would have had a chance to see this movie, huh?
You wish he would have had to see his final product?
Yeah.
I don't
know. That's okay. They were able to build a statue of him and put it in the...
Right, a la Walt Disney.
Right.
You know, that's kind of what I noticed about the park.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I was going to say what you said. Right. They took Disney, which is a brilliant idea, and you know, with, the, like you said, the monorail.
That's it, man. All it takes is a monorail, and I got a boner. That's it.
I mean, even the rides, like, you know, when they're getting on the ride thing and the, you know, you got the disinterested teen running the
right,
ride.
Like it's a fucking line. You're waiting in line to just,
to
all
ride,
right,
ride.
He rolls up this ball. All right, two in. All right, who's next?
Yeah, just fantastic.
Right, like, you don't really think about it. It's like, yeah, it's fucking... And then when early on, and I'm, Damon, you must have seen this, when they have the scene where they're in the center and then they go out and you see the people in the giant log with the giant window and it's the T-Rex.
Yes, yes.
Encampment, and they just stick the goat in and they show the camera angle from behind the people as a T-Rex comes up and just eats the goat and you've got kids like, yay,
yeah,
yay!
Yeah.
Right.
I was surprised at how they gave us the whale dinosaur, the water dinosaur, that scene that we'd seen in the preview.
So soon.
So soon, yes.
But I mean, they did... You know, it wasn't the preview, but of course, like, you know, you got your outside seat, even like they hold up the shark, like, yeah, yeah. And then they lower the seats down so you can get the water view.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So it was good because, you know, we talked about, we were kind of upset. Like, you felt like you saw all the good stuff in the previews and you didn't. Well done. I mean, I'm going to say, I mean, from the writing, I thought the script read well. I thought the actors were well cast. I thought
they were
all likable. You know, the ones that...
Chris Pratt. I'm enjoying this guy.
That's what
you know.
And it wasn't like he just played Peter Quill. Like, his character, yeah, he made a joke here and there, but he was more serious, just a straight up...
Right. Look, I think this is this generation's Harrison Ford.
I was thinking because, the same exact thing.
Well, because, you know, there are rumors linking him
to Indiana Jones, and I would love it. I would love it. I was totally against an Indiana Jones movie until I saw him in Guardians of the Galaxy, and then heard them say he put him in Indiana Jones. That would be a great.
This was a good segue toward that.
I think he could definitely
very Indiana Jones-ish at times.
Yep.
For him,
yeah.
But I gotta say, like this movie needs to be nominated for best movie and best director.
There were a lot of good sweeping shots too.
Yeah,
a lot of good.
Mm-hmm. Good like shots. It's a total package movie. Everything hit.
You know, it's interesting too because like I liked a lot of the beginning of the movie, but the majority of what I liked was in the second half of the movie, which Damon hasn't even seen yet.
Oh my God! Yeah,
so right. Like, I'm excited. I'm excited for you to see a lot of the stuff that I liked.
You walked out right before, like
no doubt. All right. Everything I saw was set up and looking at Pretty Park and and everything was just about to explode.
Mayhem.
Right, yeah. Mayhem. When I had to leave.
Okay.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean,
you also got to miss a certain cameo by a certain guy. At a certain scene that was filmed at a certain abandoned theme park in New Orleans. You know, that whole main strip, they built that on the parking lot of the Six Flags New Orleans.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, the background shots, and they still filmed a lot in Hawaii where the original filmed, but that main shopping, you know.
The main street electrical parade.
They built that set on the old parking lot at the Six Flags New Orleans.
No kidding. I don't know.
Part of the special effects, you know, behind it.
Who was the cameo guy? I can't remember.
The guy who grabbed his margaritas. Did you not see that?
I saw that.
Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah.
I thought that was Jimmy.
I read that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I would guess most people don't recognize Jimmy.
I knew to look for it, so I knew to kind of – when I saw him, I was like, oh, there he is. You know, I did notice
that they had a Margaritaville there. Like, they had that little product.
And they also – like, on the first opening shot, there's a store called Winston's, kind of like right on the corner. It's a tribute to the guy Stan Winston, who was a big like puppeteer maker in Hollywood, and he created the giant T-Rex for the original movie. Yeah,
that's awesome. And I have to say, the CGI, I forgot that I was watching CGI. You know what I mean? That this was
That's what I was thinking.
The first movie did for special effects in cinema. This movie is just right there again. I mean.
It was very entertaining.
Spared no expense.
Like, I had a great time watching the movie.
Yeah. Complete movie. It hit. Everything hit.
But, and I was thinking of this as I watched it. It was good. It worked out perfect. You couldn't have made it. This couldn't have been like Jurassic Park 2. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It couldn't have been. I mean, it hit perfectly. But, and again, when it was an awesome movie, go see it, you'll enjoy it. But you still don't, it's just so hard to walk away feeling the same way you did after seeing the first Jurassic
Park. Oh, no, I mean.
You don't know. You got to wait till you watch the second half of this movie. Because
it was very enjoyable, but it's not going to have the resonance
right.
as much as the first one. The first time you saw those dinosaurs, you're like, holy shit.
That was the first true dinosaur.
Right, it was the first, the first true, like, holy shit, this is what we're going to see in movies.
Yeah.
Right.
Now on. Like,
the first one, there was it was majestic feeling in a lot of ways.
Right.
This one, yeah, you walk out and it's more like ass-kicking awesome.
Right. I mean, it was great. Like, but yeah, I definitely.
Exactly. Look, I'm not downgrading the movie at all. And yes, I've only seen half of it. But again, that, like you said, that first one, you know, when they opened the. the big gates and you're driving it, and you're like, oh my goodness, you know.
Oh, when she's looking at the leaf, that scene, and he turns her head, and they do the cue the Brontosaurus.
Right, right, yeah. Right.
Oh, I mean, and that's the music, you know, that was that.
And, right, right, and that music is just iconic. Yep.
Well, actually, I heard the Jurassic Park
the theme is number one.
Right, the theme got back up on the number one on the top of the charts now because of the movie.
It's so funny.
What part?
the main Jurassic Park theme. Apparently, people are buying it on iTunes or whatnot.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it cranked up all the way to the top of the chart.
Well, you think about it. There's like probably anybody who's younger than.
I mean, think about it. The movie itself is 22 years old.
Yeah, right. You have a whole generation of high school. Right.
All these college freshmen don't remember going to a theater and seeing Jurassic Park.
College seniors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And they're probably like, oh, this is a great song. Like, we knew this was great in 1992.
Right. But remember, right, if they were born in 90,
Yeah, shit, right.
They're 2 years old.
But right. Even if they're born, you know, they were born
89,
in
89, probably, right.
Yeah, yeah.
89, 88, yeah.
But, I mean, you really got to be at least 6 or 7 years old to probably at least remember going to a theater and seeing a movie. Like, my first movie was Return of the Jedi in 1983. I think I was 4 years old. Like, that's the first movie I ever remember seeing in a theater. So, I mean, yeah, you're looking at least, Jesus.
But yeah, it like I said, definitely need to go see it.
Great movie. Best movie. Awesome. I think I liked it better than Avengers. There, I said it.
Have we all gone back to watch Avengers for the second time?
I saw Avengers for a second time.
Yeah. I did. All right, we all did. And you know what? And I want to, and you said there was so much I had missed.
Really? Oh, because the way we watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the waiters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. There's so much little things I had missed that I caught, you know, and I'm not bad mouthing that place. You know, I mean, I still think they do what they do again, but I wouldn't want to go like we did, you know, with a room full of people. It's easier to go when it's just like the other movies I've seen is 4 or 5 people in there.
Yeah.
You know, there aren't waiters constantly running around.
It just distracted me.
Right. You know, and again, and that's
even
why
your own. It's like, oh, this. Right. They get your order wrong, and you got to deal with that. Yeah.
Right. Like I said, no, and that's why the other one, the Alamo Draft House, is 100% better because of how they do it. There's no talking. You write what you need. You put it there. They come get it. It's a better
operation.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I mean, Avengers, great movie, but maybe it's because of the nostalgia that comes with Jurassic.
I mean, look, you're a Jurassic Park lover. I mean, no denying that. You know,
I'm a dino lover.
I thought about wearing my, you know, I got that Jurassic Park The Ride long sleeve t-shirt. I was like, should I wear it? I was like, nah, I'm not going to wear it. But I wanted to.
Of course, because you're that guy.
Right. Well, no.
You're that guy that wears that. You wanted
I'm a fucking nerd. That's why, because I'm a fucking nerd. That's why I wanted to wear it. I'm like,
but no one's arguing. No one's arguing with you, Jason. We all agree. No one ever said you were cool. No,
Right. Not only would I wear the shirt, I also have this tag because I'm a Jurassic Park visitor that I bought back when I went to
Jurassic
Park in '97.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I would have Jurassic Parked myself out to death. I would have brought my little shot glass.
The question is, are they going to update the River Adventure ride to
I don't
include
think
anything
so.
From this movie?
I don't think so, but maybe they build a new ride. Maybe they build like a gyrosphere ride.
They don't have the room for that.
I don't know.
The dinosaur exploration building, you know, on the water at Islands of Adventure, I think they could update that to maybe have those interactive hologram things, you know, all that cool
learning stuff.
The
little holograms that they – it was so weird to watch like – the kids go into Jurassic Park Center like a fucking zoo, and the scenes where the kids are on the baby dinosaurs and the petting zoo. That's just like,
oh, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
I forgot. Like, that was awesome.
Like that's just like, of course, we're gonna stick our kids on fucking baby dinosaurs.
I mean, but look, tell me the truth. Talking about being geeky, when you're sitting there watching, like you know, the first 15-20 minutes, and they're doing all this, you know. That you really don't want to, you know, how bad you want to be there, you know, you wish it was real, you know?
Actually, no, I say that, but then, like, you know what? I would, if they really had a dinosaur park,
I mean, not with the whole killing thing. I mean, I'd want to leave that.
But I would just be like we can't. How are we going to control fucking dinosaurs?
You're not. That's the whole purpose of the movie.
No, and at the whole point, I'm like, yeah, they get 20,000 people a day, and I'm like, I would never go to a dinosaur park. Never.
Yes, you would.
Oh, you would.
Yes, you would.
I don't know, man.
You would.
I mean, obviously,
I'm a graphic park teacher.
No, obviously, I'm fearing the worst because I've seen 4 movies that say dinosaurs are going to run amok.
Right, but that would.
Still, it's like.
You know, honestly, though, here's the one issue I have with the Jurassic Park universe. It's been now, what, 22, almost 30 years, and no dinosaur has left the island?
Because they had it in the aviary. Well, no, actually, you're right. At the end of two or three,
one left.
At the third movie, there was that aviary. I mean, the pterodactyls got loose.
All right, don't you remember they were flying in the helicopter, then the pterodactyls flew
past them?
Did
the military just sweep out and kill them and didn't tell
Probably
them?
Probably so. Well, in part two, or Jurassic Park 2, the dumbest of all Jurassic Parks, they had the T-Rex in San Diego, remember?
Yeah, they drove them out there.
I like two better
than that. I'm saying, like, you know, Jurassic World 2 could possibly be where
It's almost like how do they like can you really right I mean we already know okay the park I mean and Damon's gonna find the park obviously had issues failed again how can you go beyond that
well you, that's the thing you cannot do it as another park again
I mean what would you
ever do a park
you would almost it. Have to do it like oh these dinosaurs escaped and now we're dealing like what would be the story for another movie
maybe an infestation as they've gotten onto you know
like South America.
The mainland
actually there's a oh well, I can't we'll have to table this for later because there's something else you know there's I'm gonna shut up
okay so that's all the show we have for you right now we're gonna thank you listeners for downloading each week and telling them all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, that guy.
Bye-bye, Tiger Woods guy.
Good night, Hootat Nation.